I do want to say this about heaven. Yeah, I've been to a lot of places. And if you've been there very long, really, you've seen it all. But when you take a tour of heaven, it's going to take eternity.
That's right.
Amen. We'll never see it all. I thought about when they were singing, Brother Jerry was singing that song, In Glory. I Live in Glory. I thought about, you know, beyond the crystal sea, and man, the walls of jasper and the streets of gold. We think heaven's a small place, but it's such a big place.
Yeah,
that's right.
Solomon said the heaven of heavens can't contain God. So that's a pretty big place. Said earth was his footstool, heaven's his throne. Just thinking about this earth, we've got people still believe the earth's flat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christopher Columbus put in his diary that he set sail for the furtherance of the gospel. Can you imagine? They don't teach that in school.
No.
He said, I set sail for the furtherance of the gospel. The reason he set sail is because he read the book of Isaiah that God set upon the circle of the earth.
Yeah.
And he believed it.
Yeah.
And he didn't believe the earth was flat, no matter how many maps they had showing the earth flat and everything falling off. He set sail. And he kind of proved that the earth wasn't flat, that it was round. And on the other side of the world, they discovered America. Of course, they've done messed all that up now. And you know, that's all men do, is mess things up. But I'm glad God's going to come straighten it all out. Let's open our Bibles this morning. 2 Kings chapter 10. Lord stirred my heart about this morning. And I feel like that's what He'd have me to preach on. I really was inclined just a minute ago to preach on heaven. How about, well, I'll just speak about heaven a little bit and preach on this. After Brother Ed made his statement, I know I want to preach on this. But let me say this about the election. I don't think this will get us in no trouble. It is important.
Yes.
Now, I've got family that, I hate to say this, but they're all about party only. I mean, they've got blinders on. They can't see beyond their party. And it's kind of a snare to them. And I love them. But I used to be one of them. I changed my voting record from Democrat to Republican. And the reason I did that is I didn't have a conscience board of offense. And for conscience sake, I couldn't condone, like what Brother Ed mentioned there about the previous administration. That should have never been.
No.
But I'll tell you how it happened, because people didn't vote. And
right.
You're entitled to your vote. I'm entitled to mine. That's one thing that blood was shed for. Be sure to vote. I was listening to David Carr on the way up here, and he was talking about if you don't vote, it's the same thing as voting. He said you're canceling your vote out. Okay. All right, let's get out of that and get on this. 2 Kings chapter 10. And this one in times, I'm just going to read a little bit. I'm just going to read a little bit of the Bible. I've read quite a bit of this, but I want, for sake of time, just focus here. Jehu, he's just been anointed king. And verse 15, he says, and when he was departed thence, I'm in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 15. And this is talking about Jehu. And when he was departed thence, he lighted upon Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him, and he saluted him and said to him, is thy heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. And if it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand and took him up to him into the chariot. And I want to stop reading right there. And I just want to use part of that statement in the middle of this verse. Is thy heart right? And I want to preach today along those lines. Is thy heart right? And it'll make a difference if it is. And we'll go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the precious singing this morning. We thank you for the rain. I thank you for the number that are before us this morning. Lord, we're so thankful to be in your house today, thankful to be saved, glad my sin is on the blood,
yes, Lord.
Glad my name's in the book,
yes.
Glad I got a home in heaven,
yes.
That you went away to prepare, and I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to meet you on that better shore, on that better day.
Yes.
Lord, until then, every day we need your help. And I pray for your help even this morning. Lord, not only help us behind this pulpit, but Lord, help us, I pray, as a preacher, Lord. Lord, to preach your word as it is indeed the word of God. Well, a lot of things being preached today, and some of them, Lord, are not true. And some of them, Father, are preaching not only the wrong message, but they're preaching, Lord, from the wrong Bible. And I thank you for my Bible. I thank you, Lord, that you counted me faithful, put me in the ministry. And Peter said, let every man minister as the Lord gives ability. And I pray you'll give me your blessing this morning. Give me clarity of thought. Lord, help my tongue not to stutter. Give me, I pray, a clarity of speech. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
This king, Jehu, in his chariot, it'll take me a while really to lay this foundation down here. But this king, Jehu, was just got anointed king, in his chariot, was anointed to bring judgment upon the house of Ahab. God had pronounced judgment upon the house of Ahab because of them stoning Naboth and taking his vineyard. God pronounced judgment that where the blood of Naboth was shed,
yeah.
The blood of Ahab would be shed, and the dogs would eat the carcass,
yeah.
Of Jezebel. And Jehu is that very instrument that God told the prophet to anoint Jehu to do. And he's in the process of doing this. And as he meets this I think this is a king. His name's actually pronounced Jonadab. But as he meets him, he asks him if his heart's right. And he said it is. And if it is, he said, give me your hand. And he gave him his hand. And he took him up to him into the chariot. So these both now are in the chariot, both to do a work that God had only called Jehu to do. But anyway, he tells him in verse 16, he says, come and see my zeal for the Lord. Now, Jehu had not only been anointed to do a work, but he had also a zeal. Let me say, he had a half-hearted zeal, and he half-heartedly served the Lord. Now, you can see that. Now take my word for it. In verse 29 of this chapter, you can see, talking about Jehu, it said the sins of Jeroboam, a son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, Jehu departed. That was those golden calves that he made.
Yeah.
And he said, y'all don't have to go to Jerusalem to worship, because he didn't want to lose power. So he just kind of made two golden calves. He said, you can just worship here. And our Sunday school lesson this morning was about worship. But it says, verse 29, Jehu departed not from after them to whip the golden calves that were in Bethel and that were in Dan. He half-heartedly has zeal for God. So far, he's willing to do what God anointed him to do, and he did it. Look down in verse 31. But Jehu took no heed to walk in the law of the Lord God of Israel with all of his heart, for he departed not from the sins of Jeroboam, which made Israel to sin. Those two golden calves were they were substituted for the real God, and there's no substitute. God said in the book of Isaiah, who will you compare me to? There's none like him, never a man spake like him. No one done the things he done because he was God. But men will somehow, by sleight of hand, they'll somehow try to substitute something. They tell me in some churches, they give you a little wafer, and they say this is Christ, and that's, again, in the category like this, it's a substitute. It's not God.
Amen.
But that's why I say he half-heartedly served God. He had the zeal, but it was a half-hearted zeal.
Yeah.
He had been anointed king over Israel to execute judgment upon the house of Ahab. And that's mentioned, I said, in 2 Kings chapter 9, which is the previous chapter. If you want to read it, verses 1 through 12. God sent the prophet to him, anointed him, and buddy, I mean he went immediately fulfilling what he was anointed to do. And you know what he had, his problem was he had a half-hearted loyalty to God. He was willing to do so much, and he did. He done a lot. He done things that if you read about him, he done things I doubt anybody else could have did. He must have been a mighty man, but he still had a half-hearted zeal for God. A lot of the kings Israel had were like that. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61, Solomon proclaims to Israel that they needed a perfect heart to walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
And yet Solomon's heart, God said, wasn't perfect. That's 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 4 through 10. And God says that Solomon's heart wasn't perfect as his father David's was. And not only that, he went on to say that his wives turned his heart away from the living God to serve idols. Now, we're admonished to pay attention to our heart. You're going to give your heart to something. I gave my heart to my wife 43 years ago, and I don't have any regrets about that. I'm glad I was able to find someone they could put up with me. And, you know, I hate to say it, but a lot of people have given their heart to some Jezebel. Have you ever heard of a woman named Jezebel? Has anybody got a daughter named Jezebel?
No,
see what I mean?
Have.
You have? Well, I have never heard of one. But that's an unusual name, Jezebel.
Yeah,
and Ahab married Jezebel, and the Bible says that he was a pretty good king except for her. And she called him, I'm going to guess that he was probably a little bit on the spineless kind. He pouted when he couldn't get that vineyard to Naboth. And she said, "What's the matter with you?" And he said, "I want that vineyard." And she said, "Yeah, rise up and eat. I'll go get the vineyard for him." But anyway, I gave my heart to my wife. You can give your heart to some people and they'll break it. You give your heart to some people and they will, they will abuse or they will betray. They will cause you to have, second thoughts about giving your heart to someone else. You never know anymore these days. Everything's kind of cloak and dagger. But the Bible tells us about our heart in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life."
Yeah.
Now here's a good reason for doing that. Because out of a good treasure of the heart, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 36, he said, "A good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things."
Right.
A heart has a whole lot to do with what you're going to do. I hate to say it like this, but pretty much if you got the right heart, you can just about do anything.
That's right.
I found out I can't half-heartedly do nothing. And I found out if I've got a stubborn heart, I've got to have a little bit of help to get something done. I've got to take care of that. What do you mean, boy?
Yeah.
And threw me out the yard to get out there and mow that yard, paint them clothesline posts, wash that car, you know. I mean, I had a little bit of motivation with that stubbornness. I had a little bit of motivation with that rebellious heart.
Yeah.
I remember picking myself up out of the floor. What did I do? And the daddy slapped me down again. I said, "Never mind, I'll figure it out later."
Right. Amen.
My dad could take care of a stubborn heart, a lazy heart. I'm telling you, I had the right kind of motivation. He got through my thick head. But the heart's important. With a good heart, you don't hardly need any supervision or attention. They try to pick up on that in the workplace. And they'll find someone, you know, that doesn't have to have anyone watching over them. They'll put them in the best positions, you know, and they'll try to exalt them up. But you got some people, and Joanne, they just can't be trusted.
That's right.
I mean, give them the right opportunity, they'll look and they'll put it in their pocket.
That's right.
I got in trouble over a piece of this candy out there at work, and you know, I hate to say it, but I was guilty. I didn't really deny it. I just didn't realize how serious the person was I was talking to. And I got called in the office, had a serious conversation about candy. I thought, give me a break. But that place is fairly regulated. It is fairly regulated, and they do have to have laws in place because of the we're packaging medicine.
That's right.
And being humanly consumed. We have to wear a hairnet, beard net. We got to wear rubber gloves and can't have anything in your mouth because they don't know if you've been eating pills. Some of the pills that we package are controlled substances and stuff, so but it's zero tolerance. It wasn't like I had a leg to stand on. They just said, get rid of it. And my boss, I said, you had something in your mouth the other day? He said, yeah, and I swallowed it. I just put this big crickman in there. Wouldn't know where I'd swallow it, so I wouldn't spit mine out. But, you know, a good man out of a good heart, you can trust him. You don't have to have any second thoughts about giving him a responsibility or nothing. I mean, he'll do it. But it said an evil man out of an evil heart bringing forth evil things. There's some people you just can't trust.
Right.
I'm just telling you now. But Jesus can change that.
Amen.
Matter of fact, He gave me a perfect heart. Amen. He took away my old stony heart.
Yeah,
gave me
yeah.
a fleshly heart.
Man,
I tell you what, the preacher didn't have to work on me. I pulled in the parking lot and just started weeping. I mean, boy, God's so good. And I am ashamed that I don't weep no more. But I tell you what, my heart hadn't changed one bit.
No.
It just ain't as tender as it used to be. But it used to be so tender that sing that song. I couldn't sing it with weeping, boy. Just thinking about just what He'd done for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I never got over it. I don't know how you do. But I still enjoy the things of God. I tell you, boy, He's still number one. And I love Him. But He says, keep your heart with all diligence. Proud of it, all the issues of life. Here's some things to worry about if you don't keep your heart.
Right.
In Psalm 66, verse 18, using the Bible for a reason to keep a good heart, it said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me.
Right.
I don't want to just pray and waste my time. I want to pray effectually and fervently.
Yeah.
I want to come boldly to the throne of grace. And I want to say, Lord, I need to talk to You. And I want Him to say, come forth, son. We'll talk.
Yeah.
You know, sin, the Bible talks about Israel. And it said their sins withheld good things from them. And they thought that somehow or another they could do some things and get away with it. But the Bible tells us that God is greater than our heart and He knows all things. I might be able to hide something from you. You might be able to hide something
right.
from me. But neither one of us can hide anything from God.
That's he right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the good attributes of God I like.
Yeah.
That means He knows everything about me, reading and still loves me, and that just blesses my soul talk.
Amen.
Amen. Oh boy, we're in a good place today.
Yes, we are.
We are.
And it's good to have a good heart. Some people's got a troubled heart and they can't sleep and they take pills. And
yeah.
They try this procedure. Michael Jackson, he had a big day coming up and he needed to sleep, and of course he had all kind of money and he didn't really think about no consequences of anything going wrong. So he calls this doctor up and he said, I don't care what you got to do, I've got to sleep. Well, he put him to sleep permanently.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, buddy, some people got a troubled heart, Brother Mitchell.
That's right.
And that old troubled heart won't let them sleep. I heard a story one time about a woman and Carolyn, this woman in bed with her husband, and she's fidgeting around. He said, what's wrong with you? She said, we're going to lose everything we got. He said, no, we ain't. She said, yes, we are. And he said, get up. She got up and he pulled the mattress back and $100 bills, I was $10,000-$20,000 right there between the mattress and the box spring. He said, now go to sleep. And she's fidgeting around again. He said, now what's wrong? She said, somebody's going to break in and steal it. He said, we've got two boys down there. It's big enough to whoop anybody comes in this house. And she still had a troubled heart. But you know, some people, they just can't never have rest. I'm glad that God gives perfect peace to them that trust in Him. I'm glad, praise God, He gave me a good heart. And He told me, He said, keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it all the issues of life. I enjoy every day I live. And one of the reasons I enjoy is because my heart is fixed, glory to God. I told him this morning in Sunday school, I was out there at work with the man at work, and it was like something said that behind me and put arms around me, and I just started draining, took about 3 steps, and I don't know what it was. It may be physical, it may be spiritual, whatever it was, I know I walked away from it. But it happened again that afternoon, and best I can tell, it killed my watch. And that's about all, but I may die before the service is over, but I'm good to go. And the Lord wants me in heaven, being far from me, to say anymore that I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and I tell you, I love him, glory to God.
Amen.
Paul said he made preparation against that day. He said, I fought a good fight.
Yeah, right.
He said, I finished my course.
Yeah.
Right.
He said, I kept the faith.
Right.
He said, henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord himself shall give me, not me only, but all of those that love him and look to his appearance. I'm looking for him to show up, and if not, I'm looking to get out, and the first opportunity, I'm going out like a bird and sitting down and praising him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Bless.
Woo! Good heart. That's a treasure. Jesus said, a good man have the good treasure of his heart. That's a treasure to have a good heart. Boy, them old deceitful hearts. They want to tell the truth, they just can't do it.
Yeah, that's right.
I've met people, I'm not going to name them, but I've met some people you just couldn't trust. I mean, what they say, you just need to let go over here and out the other. But I mean, oh, who they trying to fool? They wasn't fooling me. I've been around enough to know what they say I wasn't worth hearing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Man, they can spin one too. And I fell for some of that for a while. But that old good heart.
Amen.
Man, I'm going somewhere with this message. Bear with me here a minute.
Bless
you,
God.
A psalm that said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he said, the Lord will not hear me. You know, your heart affects your prayers.
Yes, it does.
And I don't want my prayers hindered.
That's right.
And when I pray, I'm pretty serious about praying. I do a lot of praying. Now, I call y'all's names out. I've learned every one of you's names. I even got Misty and Autumn and Gabrielle and Braxton. I done got their names down pat. I'm learning names. You know why? Because I pray for you.
That's right.
I started back there with Jerry and Carolyn. They sit back there. And I go over to Harvey and read it, and I just come all the way up. I name every one of y'all.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was kind of hoping Karen would be here this morning. I'm just going to guess she still ain't feeling good. My wife had a bad spell this morning because the weather took a turn for the cold. I've been praying for Karen. She told me this. She said, pray for me, Brother Eddie. Mm-hmm. I ain't been feeling good. I've been praying for her.
Amen.
And
she'll come this morning and give you a sore throat.
Well, I was going to say, I bet she ain't feeling good.
Yeah.
But she'd been here. Well, you tell her, old Brother Eddie said to gargle some warm salt water, and that sore throat will be gone by tonight.
I had it Monday, and that's what I did.
You gargle that. I've healed strep throat with gargling warm salt water.
Yeah.
But your heart affects your prayers. Not only does your heart affect your praying, but your heart affects your giving. Jesus said, when you come to put your gift on the altar, and remember you got an altar against your brother, he said, leave your gift there, don't make things right, and then come back and get it. It'll mess you up.
Amen.
It'll mess your giving up. It'll mess your praying up. Not only that, it'll mess your worship up. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16.
Yeah.
You can't worship half-heartedly. You know, one thing about worship, I've seen a lot of fake worship. I've seen a lot of real worship. I was in a service one time, and you know, I'm going to comment on something here in a minute that I'm just going to give you my perspective on it. Don't necessarily mean I'm right. But anyway, a lot of people, when they first get saved, they don't know a whole lot. And old Freddie Belcher, he's rough like me, got saved, and he's going, I can tell you, think that's like, he's wiping tears, and Rick said, anybody got it on the heart, old Fred, I'm right beside him. He raised his hand up, and all he could get out, he said, just keeps getting gooder and gooder. That's all he could get out. I grew up, old Fred, we fought out every day. God got me saved. God got old Fred saved. He didn't live very long after he got saved, but he got him saved. And this other guy, Brother Mitchell, he's in church, and man, he just couldn't say, didn't know what he did. I'm saying, yabba-dabba-doo! Might have had an effect on them, but you know, when somebody first gets saved, all they know is they just got something good. They may not know how to put it into words. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of people, you know, just enjoying the joy unspeakable and the full of glory. And got that peace of faith of understanding, got their heart right, and that'll affect your praying, it'll affect your giving, it'll affect your worship, but it'll also affect your walk with God. In Psalms 101, verse 2-3, your walk will be affected by your heart. You'll either walk in the gray area, or in darkness, or in light. And your heart will determine which area you walk in. But God says in Proverbs 23, verse 26, He says, give me thine heart. And the reason He says that is because our heart is wicked and deceitful. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says. And God can help us with our heart. One place there talks about, with my hands have I lifted up my heart to thee. And you know what? You give your heart to God, and you'll be giving it to good hands. But I talked about, you know, people really getting saved and not really knowing all the ins and outs on how, what, or whatever. But in Acts chapter 8, Simeon, he's the sorcerer, and he bewitched the people through sorceries. And the Bible said that he believed and was baptized. Uh-huh. And as he was beholding the miracles being done, he ended up offering money to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And Peter rebuked him, and he said this about him. He said, your heart's not right with God. Right. And that may be true, but I will tell you this. His answer was a very humble answer. Pray for me that it be not true. And like I said, new converts, they don't know, you know, the order of how churches are. I remember when I first got saved, my pastor up there preaching like a wild Indian. And I stood up and said, Brother Rick, what's this mean right here? And he had enough grace about him. I might never been in church. He had enough grace about him. He said, Brother Eddie, I'm preaching right now. I'll talk to you about it later. And he just finished right on. But, you know, I thought about that. May have been like Simon. You know, he has believed. He's been baptized. Yeah. And he's seen things he ain't never seen before. And he thought, I'd offer money. And Peter rebuked him strongly. Said his heart wasn't right with God. I perceive you're in the bond of iniquity. And he said, pray for me that it be not true, the things, you know, Peter said about him. And that's why I say, boy, that heart's so important.
That's right.
God being greater than our heart. You know, I'm glad that God can, through my heart, get my attention. I've had my heart pricked before. Probably the worst time, I guess, that I've ever had my heart pricked. I may have told this, but I feel like telling it again. Was really living. We was at church Sunday night, and we was having like a, I don't know, chili or soup or something. Just a small gathering back there. We was a small church back then. Bethel Baptist Church, about like this. This is about how many we had. And it's like this. It's good ones, Carolyn. There's about 300 over now. But anyway, we back there, you know, everybody was enjoying company, eating chili. My son, he's he man then. I mean, by the power of grace, and he went running, jumping, landing in somebody's plate, and their plate went all over the place. We didn't have it finished. It was back, you know, in the new part. It just concrete floor. But it so embarrassed me. I got my family. I said, come on, we're leaving. And we started home, and I was just in bad spirit in the flesh, turned around my little old boy, and I said, maybe one of these days God will give me a good little boy.
Amen.
And my heart smote me just soon as I said that, Brother Mitchell. He didn't know it. My wife didn't know it. Nobody else knew it. They just knew I wasn't in a good mood. Nobody said nothing. But oh, that God has smote my heart. I couldn't shake it. I shook at what happened to me Monday. I couldn't shake this. I had to go to work that night. I went to work that night. It's getting bigger. It wasn't getting smaller. It was about like went from the size of a nickel to a wagon wheel. I'm dragging this thing around. Finally, I had it up to here, and I called home. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, Tatum. And my wife finally answered the phone. If she hadn't, I was fixing to drive home. And I said, you need to get my son up. I need to talk to him. And, of course, you know, she said, well, honey, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't really want to get him up. It's so early. I said, either you get him up or I'm coming home. Now, I know that women and money are. She would have got him up immediately. I heard him on the phone. He said, hello? I said, honey, I said, God's already given me a good son. I said, I'm sorry.
Amen.
It's okay with that. It wasn't that at all of him. But you know what? It made peace with me and God.
Right, right.
I'm glad that God's greater than my heart. I'm glad that He guides me in my heart. I'm glad for those little heart strings.
Yes.
I don't know about y'all, but every man ain't got a tug one of them, boy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Let me tell you nothing. I feel pretty good right now.
Amen.
Yeah,
we got that littlest, that little granddaughter, the apple of our eye. We watched her grow up, be a beautiful young girl, but when she was about 6 or 7, she was there at the house, and we only get her like 3 days a week. She has to go back to her father, and she was getting ready to leave, and I bid them all, I see you, hon, bye, and I went back there to the back of our house. We got a huge house. Big old farmhouse. It's got 2 bathrooms. And I went back there to that back bathroom and shut the door. And I had no sooner sat down than, Pop, you in there? Well, yeah, honey, I'm in here. How long are you going to be? I said, just a few minutes, honey. In 3 minutes, she's knocking again. You know, at that age, they're impatient. How much longer, Pop? I said, well, a couple minutes, honey. Get again there, and I got in the flesh again. I got a little mad, and I just got all that using the bathroom. I just got up, went open the door, and she stuck 2 little bony arms up, hugged my neck, kissed me. She said, "I wanted to hug you before I left."
Aww.
Our bedroom's outside that bathroom. I just went in the bathroom, tail tucked. I couldn't get a word out forever. It took me about 30 minutes before I could even talk. I just so broke. I didn't realize why she wasn't in there.
Yeah.
Was to hug my neck and give me a kiss before she left. I finally got right talk. I said, thank you, Lord. I mean, those are kind of things, them little heart strains, you know.
Yeah.
I've never forgot that.
Yeah.
Man, it was humbling, but it helped. It made my eyes just the damn broke. I mean, I couldn't talk. I just sat there in that moment saying, boy. That's worth more than gold.
That's right. Amen.
You can't put a price on that. Do a little bone arms up around my neck.
Yeah, that's right.
Could have gave me a kiss. I want to hug you that kissy boy.
That's right. Amen.
That's a little heart strength. Then I get to thinking about what I don't do right and God wants to get my attention. You see, David, he didn't do right. Mm. And to get his attention, God killed that firstborn.
Yeah.
Him and Bathsheba.
Amen.
Or see, Bathsheba was somebody else's
right.
wife.
Right. Amen.
I really am not at liberty to tell this, but my pastor shared something with me I wish he hadn't shared with, because now I know it. And he only told me so I'd pray for this man, but the most unthinkable thing, a friend of mine, a great preacher, done something unthinkable. And it'll have a ripple effect. There'll be so many people hurt by it. I'd give in if it hadn't happened, but I've been praying for him. That's all I know to do.
That's all you can do.
But that heart's so important. God said, keep your heart with all diligence.
That's
right. For having it are the issues of life. And that old heart, boy, Peter rebuked Simeon. And like I said, it's a new convert. And I could be wrong. I'm not saying that I'm altogether right. But, you know, he could have just been a new convert, didn't understand how it all worked, you know. But keep your heart. And the Bible tells us in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That heart is so important. It really is. I remember back when my heart wasn't right with God. I knew it wasn't right with God. Wasn't no hiding. I knew it wasn't right with God. But now that it is right with God, I'm kind of enjoying that.
That's right.
It's so good to be on the other side of that.
Right.
Here I am. Wonder how long it's going to be before somebody finds out. Now, bring it on.
Yeah.
Hey, hit me with your best shot. I'm just telling you, boy, when your heart's right, you ain't got nothing to worry about.
That's right.
If there is something wrong, it'll catch up with you. So I like that thing, grab a hold of me Monday. Sooner or later, it'll get you. Kill my watch. May kill me, I don't know. I just know one thing. It sure got his work cut out for him. I got eternal life. I got an eternal home. I'm going to get an eternal body. I admit this old body ain't going to make it that long. I about wore this one out. But Jehu says, is your heart right like mine? A lot of people say their heart's right.
Yeah.
But in Jehu's case, and a lot of other people's case, he just half-heartedly served God. He did have a great zeal for God. I think the opportunity that God gave him might have been his zeal. Last night at prayer meeting, someone shared with me about a church as a crow flies just right over the hill from this church. I've been there. I preached there several times. I love the pastor. He's a great, great preacher. But he just about died. They're about down to nothing. I don't know that they're going to have enough money to keep the lights on. But every church is like a living organism.
That's right.
That heart's so important.
Yes.
If that heart ain't right, that church ain't going nowhere.
Right.
So I don't really know what the problem is over there. I was sad to hear about it. A young preacher that was telling me about this, he's preaching there right now. He was going there this morning to preach, and he said he didn't really know if he wanted to go or not. I said, absolutely. Go. Do the best you can. Help all you can.
Amen.
Man, we got enough hindrances. Help all you can. But, man, that heart. One day we'll share our hearts to God.
That's right.
He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Hear thou and the joy of the Lord. Or we'll get the brunt truth of our heart wasn't where it ought to be. If your heart's where it ought to be, woo!
That's right.
If it's not, we're getting ready to give an invitation right here. I'd like to ask Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon. Father, we thank you for this message. I hope I got through, Lord, for the day and hour we're living in. Lord, most of us just half-hearted what we need to be. And I pray, God, Lord, you'd help us with our heart. Lord, if I didn't have no heart for you, I wouldn't even be here. I'm so glad, Lord, you put it in my heart not only to love you, but, Lord, to live before you in the beauty of holiness. I want to do my best, give my best. Lord, I just want to be a blessing instead of a burden. And maybe one day, Lord, you can polish me up, be a jewel for your crown. But help us, Lord, today. I pray we'll be honest before you. And, Lord, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I heard a story about the great Welch revival down in Florida. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. That great revival down in Florida, the great Welch revival, started because the preacher called upon a man to dismiss in prayer. And he started to pray, and he just broke down, and he said, what's the use if your heart's not right with God? And that revival went on for, I think it went on for about a year. I don't really know the specs on it. My pastor did. But it'll make a difference if your heart's right with God.
Right.
Get Brother Jerry there singing, if you need to come, come. You don't need to come, by no means you don't need to come. But if you do need to, well, we'll pray with you. We're here.
Number 113, verse, the second verse.